courtside of the virtual hardwood, it's the MLSC podcast. This is episode 495. I am Andrew, Andrew Now Forum, Andrew MLSC on X. Joining me as always, my co-host Derek, DP3 Now Forum, and DP3G and DP384 on X. Derek, good to be on here talking to you as always. This is going to be our second look at NBA 2K24 this week. But apart from that, what else is new?
No, I'm happy to be here. Before we get into our second impressions of NBA 2K24, I wanted to talk about what we've been playing, because I want the community to understand that, you know, the podcast is not always going to be about NBA 2K24 now that that game is released and it's the newest game. We are still doing our retro gaming. We still love revisiting, you know, past titles and whatnot. So let's talk about that first. So, Andrew, I know that you got back into NBA 2K14 into your My Career because you've been sending me highlights once again on X. So what's going on your My Career on NBA 2K14?
Well, actually, I fired it up to do some testing of my PlayStation 5 because I've had some crashing with NBA 2K24, as I told you off air, and I actually mentioned on X as well that it's been crashing my entire system when I get to the fourth quarter. So I thought, okay, is my PS5 overheating? Gave it a bit of a dust, still nothing. So okay, let's try some other games, see if we can play them for more than 25-35 minutes and see if it crashes the console. What am I going to do? Of course I'm going to dust off 2K14 because I have that My Career going. I have let it sit for a few weeks while I play some other games and of course get into 2K24. So pulled out 2K14, fired up the My Career, played a couple of games, and it is as fun as I remember it being. Obviously, it hasn't been that long since I played it, but immediately picked it up again, had a blast right away. There are definitely things about 2K14 that I like a lot more than 2K24 with the player movement and so forth, but yeah, what a blast to get back into that. Throw some lobs to Carmelo Anthony and Terry Hansen. Funnily enough, Terry Hansen is my player in 2K24, bringing him next gen, but a lot of fun playing that again. Up to December now in my season, in the sixth season. And yeah, that's definitely going to be back in the rotation.
Notice Andrew said that he played two games because you can't just play one.
Of course.
Because you love that game so much. And after you finish the first one, you're like, this game is so fun.
Right away.
We got to get the virtual hardwood again. Right, exactly. And I've never received more clips from Andrew than of NBA 2K14. From his PS4, and I love it. And you know, I love that you're planning on finishing your full career, and I love that the new game just came out within the last couple of weeks and we still find ourselves revisiting some of the great games of the past. For me, we're still playing our NBA 2K14 Legends season on Xbox One. That's a blast. Again, I'll just for our listeners, it's Magic Johnson, Michael Jordan, Larry Bird, Bill Russell, and Wilt Chamberlain in the starting lineup. And then on the bench, we have Shaq, Hakeem Olajuwon, Julius Erving, Clyde Drexler, and Kobe Bryant. And it's just a blast to go for stats, to go for great highlights. You see some of those highlights in the NLSC top 10, like my Irving windmill this week. And NBA 2K14's gameplay, it's just a more fun game on the sticks, and the player movement makes more sense in relation to the way a basketball player should move and a basketball team should move as far as like just the overall 5-on-5 gameplay. And it's fun whether you're player locking. It's fun if you're playing co-op. It's fun to play against, all of that stuff. Sure, it's not as deep. It doesn't have the depth of NBA 2K24 from a mode and content standpoint. But really what it comes down to and what makes you play the game the most is the gameplay, right? So that's why we play it so much. But what else have you been playing?
Well, it mostly just has been 2K14 and 2K24. And I should also mention that I just got my 25th, 100th, career steal, so I'm about to pass MJ for the third all-time in career steals in that My Career. It's been interesting, actually. Although I'm winning and we are undefeated so far in the season, 22-0, my stats have actually dropped this year. I'm kind of not going for stats as much, just playing within the flow of the game. And it's the first time since the rookie year that I'm not averaging a triple-double, and it's or leading the league in every single category, the five major categories. And it's kind of refreshing, actually, that other players are stepping up and getting some other stats and leading as well. Actually, Kevin Durant is leading the league in scoring over 30 points a game, and his average just keeps climbing. He's just been having on a tear at the moment. And if I'm going to get the scoring lead this season, I'm going to have to pretty soon, Derek, just start going off and getting some big scoring games, because he's leading me by about 5 points per game, 5 or 6 points per game, which is, yeah, very unusual for how I've been playing the last few seasons in that mode. So if I am going to catch him and get another scoring championship, I'm going to have to start putting up some big numbers. But it's interesting that my numbers have kind of dropped a little bit. And from a role-playing perspective, I like it because, you know, it's the sixth season. I've had these five deep runs into the playoffs, five straight championships. So the idea that my player is feeling a bit fatigued, especially after carrying so much load last season with Hansen out and Melo out for long stretches, that maybe I'm taking a bit of a step back this year, but we'll see.
Sometimes it's just more fun to go with the flow instead of worrying about stats.
Absolutely.
Or worrying about great highlights. The pressure is off at that point, and you're just playing basketball. And we have a season right now on NBA 2K19, my two brothers and I, where my brother, Nick, locks on Michael Jordan. And it's a fantasy draft season, all-time fantasy draft. I lock on Clyde Drexler because Clyde Drexler fell to the second round, so I was able to get him. And Mark, my oldest brother, he uses the rest of the players. And Nick is a little bit more aggressive going for stats with Michael Jordan because he wants to beat me out for the MVP and all the awards. So he will be consistently going for more rebounds than me while I'm leaking out. He'll pass up some open dunks in order to get assists as long as we're in a good position in the game where we're winning by a lot, etc. But most of the time when I'm locked on Drexler, I am just going with the flow. I'm looking to make the right pass. If there's, you know, a good way to attack, I'm going to attack. On defense, I'm mostly playing disciplined and not gambling too much and whatnot. And I really enjoy that season as a result. And whenever I play that role, whether it's on NBA 2K17, whether it's on my other 2K19 season where it's just Nick and I, etc. So, yeah, I mean, I can see why that change might even be necessary for you mentally. And maybe like a mental break from the stats, right?
I think so,
from the award chasing and stuff like that. And I think it gives kind of a fresh look to your new season.
It does. Every season so far has had something different about it. A player being out all year with injury, a teammate being out all year with injury. The rookie season obviously had the bulk of the story of the first of my career with the story there in 2K14. So each season has been its own journey. So yeah, I absolutely do like that. And I don't know whether I've arrived at this subconsciously or whatever, but I am really enjoying it. And as for the season you had with your brothers, is that the one with Walter McCarty?
Okay. So, yes. And I just want people to understand that my brother Mark loves using video game legends from the past in these fantasy draft seasons. And if the player isn't in the game by default, like Walter McCarty, who's not in NBA 2K19, I'll get on Blender and I'll create a face. Blender and Photoshop, I'll create a cyber face for the player that he wants to use and I'll get him in the game, or we'll use a community upload of that player. In this case, Walter Herman, Walter McCarty, those were community uploads and we were able to get them into the game. And Chuck Nevitt is also on our team, a 7'5" center.
Chuck Nevitt, there's a name.
From the 80s and early 90s. An amazing cyberface was made for him. I believe it was by Calvin Chan, and it's part of the amazing retro season rosters for NBA 2K19, and he's on our bench. And he's now a new video game legend for us just because of that face creation and his performance in this season. But yeah, Walter McCarty, Walter Herman, Kyle Korver, and Rick Fox are the four primary video game legends for my brother Mark. So whenever we do our fantasy draft teams, we get those guys. And Nick and I, because we player lock and allow him to use the other players, we need to make sure we have good players, right? Strong performers who are going to be able to carry the likes of the Walter Hermans and Walter McCartys in an all-time fantasy draft. So that's the fun challenge of it, is it's how can we get those guys involved? How can we keep Mark having fun? How can we get him to, you know, be hitting threes with Walter McCarty, you know, slashing with Walter Herman and hitting a three here or there, you know, going off for 10 plus threes with Kyle Korver. So it's about the drives and kicks. It's like hitting him for trailers. It's setting picks for him, all of that stuff. And it is a blast. So on that team, we have like Clyde Drexler, I'm locked on him. Michael Jordan, Nick's locked on him. And then we have Walter McCarty, Walter Herman, Ralph Sampson, Chuck Nevitt, Rick Fox, Orlando Woolridge, and, you know, a few other guys. But it is just a blast. I think we're right now 17 or 18 games into the season. We're playing on Hall of Fame. It's a super challenge in that game because the AI is awesome, and they're awesome in a good way, not like on NBA 2K24 where it's just suction based, right, and just super annoying. It's like the I've showed highlights of it before. The CPU, when you play them on Hall of Fame in 2K19, they just play smart, use strategy, and they can just kick your butt sometimes. Luckily, because Nick and I are having such a strong season and my brother Mark is shooting so well on that game, we've only lost one game. So I think right now we're 17-1. But yeah, that season is a blast. We just played three games of that season last night. The other game that my brother Nick and I have been playing co-op on, once again using Legends against regular NBA teams, is on NBA Live 06 for the PC. And you've seen some of those highlights as well. And I think we're close to 20 games into that season. And man, when you're using Legends, Andrew, that freestyle superstar stuff is addicting.
Yeah.
It is one of the most addicting things in video games because you can't just not use freestyle dunking, right? When you like have Julius Erving, it's like you're going to the hoop, you are going to use freestyle, and you're going to live with the result because you want that huge poster dunk. And then when you're using Magic Johnson, it's like, ugh, he has the freestyle passer.
Yeah.
So you want to do a no-look pass or you want to throw a behind-the-back pass. And then when you're using Kobe, it's like, damn, he has the freestyle scorer. So now every time you use Kobe, you want to do one of those fadeaways or one of those adjusted shots, right? Or he'll go like behind the back for a layup and it will look awesome and everything. So freestyle superstars keeps us super engaged and it creates amazing highlights, and some of which you've seen in the top 10.
And of course, you don't have to worry about that annoying overlay anymore, thanks to a very creative modder in the community. Just patting myself on the back there.
Andrew, the cool thing about you is that you were modding NBA Live before much of the NLSC community and the NLSC modders now were either born or you know what I mean, or you know, they were really young, and you kept all of those skills, right? So like you could go back and you and I did a little modding on NBA Live 96. You can mod NBA Live 06 like you did for me to remove that freestyle indicator. You can go back and mod NBA Live 2004. You have those like 95-96 rosters, and you've been talking about touching those up. So that is really cool that you have all of that old school NBA Live modding knowledge, because there are still people that play those games.
Oh, it's great for retro gaming. Retro modding, I'd love to see it make a bit of a comeback. I mean, look, 2K14 PC, look how active that scene still is. So there's definitely still interest in those older generations of games for people who don't want to deal with some of the stuff of the some of the nonsense in the newer games, and of course some of the difficulty in modding them because of either distributing the roster files, I know we have ways, obviously, or editing the roster files and needing the right cheat engine tables or whatever, as opposed to just using RedMC, Redditor 2, or the DB commander just to open up the roster file and edit it so much easier. Of course, as we said last week, we do have that mods folder by default on the PC version, which is really cool to see, but rosters are still another issue. I'm sure that's going to be worked out in time, obviously. But no, still love going back and playing those games, modding them as well. Always have that itch to do some little mods here and there, and we'll see what we do moving forward as far as some bigger mods. I have some ideas that I can do with resources at our disposal. Have that Ultimate Jordan roster for Live 08 that I'm going to convert back to 07, 06, and 2005 as well. So that is very feasible. Fortunately, a lot of the files are compatible between 2005 and 08, so we can do that. But no, that's great to hear about your 06 season. As you know, 06 is my all-time favorite basketball video game. Spoke about that a couple of episodes ago and wrote about it in Monday Tip-Off. And yeah, Freestyle Superstars, I think it is kind of underrated or overhated sometimes. It wasn't everything we wanted it to be, but it was that next step towards player differentiation and signature moves and whatnot. Also have to mention Walter McCarty in the top 10 with that poster dunk was awesome. But I'm still tickled by Chuck Nevitt, Derek. I had to look him up.
I want you and some of the community to YouTube Chuck Nevitt. And there's this 1 minute highlight reel, which shows a couple of his dunks. And when you watch this highlight reel, you want to be like, get that man more minutes. Yeah. How did this guy not get more minutes? Because his dunking, he's 7'5", his dunking looks so effortless. I think it even looks more effortless than like Taco Fall. And there's a couple dunks where he's just effortlessly just dunking it over a couple people. It's like those guys, the defenders aren't even there because he's just so high up. But watch those dunks. It is hilarious how effective he is in NBA 2K19 as well, because he is not high rated. I want to say he's in the 60s maybe, something like that. But he's just so tall that he is a dominant shot blocker. You know that 2K has never done a great job of factoring in height as far as like compensating for it and making it realistic. So Chuck Nevitt is like, he's on pace probably for like 300 or 400 blocks in the season, and he's rebounding everything, et cetera. He's a great rim protector for us. But we want to know what you're playing. You know, talking to the community here. So let us know on X or on one of our YouTube videos or on Facebook, on the NLSC forum itself, or on the Discord, et cetera, because, you know, we see your highlights in the top 10. I put it together every week. So we do know that like, at B-Ball Video Games just recently played NBA Showtime, and VF Baller is playing NBA Live 09, et cetera. But we want to hear more, and we want to hear more outside of the top 10 as well.
Absolutely. You know, keep that discussion going, whether it's the latest game or an old favorite, whatever you're playing, let us know and join in the discussion, because we love talking about those games as well. And yeah, I'm definitely going to have to look up that Chuck Nevitt highlight reel. It's amazing some of the players that have highlight reels on YouTube, what people have put together over the years, and sometimes going back to 15, 16 years that they've put these together. There's a Dickie Simpkins reel on there, of all things, actually. I remember seeing that once. So it's,
Well, you know, Andrew, what it does is, you know, all these people that go on X and on social media in general, et cetera, and they crap on players that are not stars, right? They'll go on there and say, well, he played with scrubs, or he played with a bad supporting cast, and these guys suck. You hear that, like, this guy is trash and everything. But then you go and watch a highlight video of a guy like David Wood, who had a very unremarkable NBA career, very low numbers, jumped from team to team, all of that stuff. And I want you to look up that highlight reel of David Wood and look at the skills he had and the overall prowess that he had. And I want you to imagine him in your local gym. He would be killing everybody in your local gym. He would just look like a freak out there. He's like 6'8", 6'9". He can hit the long ball effortlessly. He has spin moves. He can do spin moves into dunks and everything. If you saw him pull off three moves in your local gym, you'd be like, this is the best basketball player I've ever seen, and I want him on my team every single game. So that's why I hate when I hear fans say, well, this guy is trash, this guy is garbage, or et cetera.
I mean, compared to the greats, it's all relative. It's like that Brian Scalabrine quote, I'm closer to LeBron than you are to me.
Right. So, like, that's another example. So look up that highlight reel if you get a chance of David Wood.
I remember you sending me that, yeah.
And then look up his stats. But imagine that guy at your park.
Exactly,
at your local gym or in your men's league. You would be like, this is the best player I've ever seen by far.
But that's definitely worth checking out. You did send me that one. It is cool to see those highlights. And one last note about Chuck Nevitt. I remember him because he was one of the first trading cards that I pulled. Real trading cards. And he's on the Spurs on that card. And he played one game for them in 1994. So that's how, sort of how obscure that is, but also champion in 1985 with the Lakers.
Yeah, and the champion of mustaches.
Of course.
And check out his mustache.
Oh, you know, Dwayne Cincius. Dwayne Cincius.
No, Dwayne Cincius has the best mullet.
Yeah.
And Chuck Nevitt has one of the best mustaches.
Absolutely. I mean, of course, Adam Morrison. I was going to say Adam Morrison, the great mustachio. I mean, we can't go past, obviously.
Right, exactly.
Before we go on, a reminder that the NLSC podcast comes out every week on the NLSC, emmy-live.com, as well as our YouTube channel. We're also on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and other podcast apps. If you're listening on any of those apps, we'd greatly appreciate a review. To keep up with the show and everything we're doing with basketball gaming in general, connect with us on social media. On Twitter and Facebook, we are the NLSC. We also have an Instagram, NLSC Basketball, and on YouTube, we're youtube.com/NBA Live Series Center. Once again, visit us at NBA-live.com, where in addition to the podcast, you'll also find all of our original content, as well as our forum and modding community. So that's what we've been playing apart from 2K24. We have been playing 2K24, obviously. I've had a bit of trouble with it, as I said, crashing my PS5 completely. I have seen a couple of the posts on X and the official 2K subreddit. Other people mentioning issues with both PS5 and Xbox Series X. There must be a very specific issue there. I am going to continue troubleshooting that. I have passed along a report to people that I know at 2K, letting them know that this is an issue and that I will be troubleshooting that. And I will let both them and the community know if I discover anything. I do have my PS5 upright, Derek, so I don't know whether it's a case of, you know, and I also have the disc version, whether it doesn't like that or whatever, you know, or I haven't cleared the cache or need to reinstall it completely after the latest patch. It's only happening after the latest patch, so I will be troubleshooting that. But have been playing 2K24 as much as I can before that patch. How are you feeling about it a week later?
So I uploaded my team gameplay video, and I did the full 76ers challenge, and, you know, was able to experience kind of the new structure of the mode. And my highlights, I think my highlights look good, right? I did some fun things with Robert Pack.
As always.
And Robert Pack is a steal in that game because he's really quick with the dribble. He's pretty strong in the game, so you can kind of move players when you drive. He gets out on the break. I think they made him like an A or a B plus on three, so he can also step out and hit threes. So if you're looking for a good cheap card that can play, you know, point guard or shooting guard, Robert Pack, I definitely recommend him. But you'll see him in that highlight reel. It's about 9 minutes on the NLSC YouTube. So I used mostly Celtics branding. As I had stated prior, I was buying the $100 version of this game in order to have no money spent. You know what I mean? Like after the purchase, the base game. So the way the mode is structured this year is absolutely more of a money grab. So they made – let's talk about domination first. So they made domination harder. And obviously we've talked about the game being more difficult in general, not in a realistic way. We're going to get into that in a minute. But instead of semi-pro, pro, and all-star being the challenges against the current teams or classic teams in domination, it's pro, all-star, and superstar. And then you have to win by a certain amount of points to complete each challenge. So you're not just beating the team, you've got to win by a certain amount of points. And I believe on pro, you have to win by 6. On all-star, you have to win by 8. And then on superstar, you've got to win by 15. And even with the $100 version of the game, my lineup is just full of about like 84 and 85 overall players outside of like a 90 overall Rick Barry and an 87 overall Lamar Odom. So I didn't really even have the strongest players against the 76ers in that matchup. The strongest players, I believe, overall wise might have been Embiid and Harden, right? So that right there made it a challenge to win by 15 on superstar. And I like the idea of a bigger challenge. I said that domination was too easy last year. I was beating teams by 60 to 80 and, you know, holding teams to under 20% shooting at times because they just missed everything in contested. But the problem that I have with the on-court gameplay in relation to a difficulty increase is it's not done via like realistic mechanics. Basically, the game is just there's a ton more suction. And there's been a couple people on X that have shown this and they're, you know, and basically said they were frustrated with it because, for example, you can get a guy up in the air with an up fake, and instead of being able to like run around him, you will like run to go around him and you'll just hit air like a brick wall because you're hitting it's the suction, right? Yeah. Into that offensive player. So you can't even get around him at that point. So him jumping on the up fake didn't do anything for you. And, you know, there's just, it feels like there's a lot more suction at the hoop. There's more suction on the perimeter. So they didn't really make defense more realistic. They just upped the suction.
The artificial difficulty. The artificial
the interactions. Yeah. Right. They didn't improve the foot planning. They didn't make the computer, you know, really smarter on defense or anything like that. At least it doesn't feel that way to me. They just increased the suction and then also how much you miss. And a lot of that, I believe, is also part of the suction. And I have videos, and this is with layup timing on and off. I tried it both ways. I have videos of me using a good inside player, like, for example, Jack Sikma, and me just missing like six or seven layups in a row on a smaller player. And then they head the other way. And I'm getting sucked backwards into the defender. I'm getting sucked to the opposite block. I'm missing constantly, et cetera. So the difficulty increase is more frustrating than anything because you feel like the computer is cheating.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And
I've noticed
you
that
can
too.
I've
noticed a lot.
Yeah, and you can also take advantage of the suction at times, and it doesn't feel good to take advantage of the suction, but you absolutely can. So I was able to put together some good highlights, and I feel like I was able to make the game look good, but I find myself looking back at my videos of NBA 2K22 and even some of my early ones of NBA 2K23 and realizing how much more the freedom of movement and how the and just overall how the gameplay was less suctioning. I don't know how else to put it, but you know exactly what I'm talking about. The other thing that they did was they made it so when you get steals, it's press steal to foul pretty much, I don't know, like 90 to 95% of the time, unless you're right up next to the guy's body. Like if he has the ball in his left hand and you're the defender, the best way to get steals and not have it be a press steal to foul is to put your body like right up on the guy's hip and then hit the steal button, which is unrealistic.
I've noticed, right? You get a few steals that way, but it's like that's not how if you are facing up your man and a quick poke as they if they are dribbling. If they're not paying attention on the dribble, that is how so many of the great pickpockets have gotten steals, just facing up their man.
Right, exactly. So one thing I'll give them credit on is blocks do feel less canned overall. Great. So that is good. So they've lessened the amount of canned animations when it comes to blocks. But another thing that the increased suction on the higher difficulty levels has really hurt is play calling. So if I run like receive screen or if I run cut to basket, the guy is constantly just getting caught on like bodies, or like he will look like he has a clean path to where he's supposed to be going and he'll hit air and he'll just stop or stutter before he gets to his spot. So play calling is not as smooth as last year, and it's definitely not as smooth either as NBA 2K22. So I've noticed that also took a hit. Now remember, these are second impressions of the game. We've been able to spend more time with it. I was able to do that full 76ers challenge and play a few more Play Now games, and I'm just seeing all of these issues. And I remember saying on the First Impressions episode that the movement felt a little less janky. I don't really feel that way anymore on Second Impressions. There's still just a lot of ball warping with the dribbles. Sometimes the dribbling is just the arms are moving too fast, faster than they could ever move in real life. And the animation transitions for the players when they try to change directions, et cetera, even something as simple as turning their body, just it just looks ridiculous a lot of the time. And when you really see that, Andrew, is when you watch people play online. Those videos look terrible. Like, to me, oftentimes it looks worse than any mobile game. Like, the way the players move, the way they're turning their bodies, how fast the dribbling is, you know, just the way the suction works, all of that stuff. It's really, really hard to watch videos of people playing online.
It is. And look, I agree with everything you said about the suction on defense, getting sucked into the defenders like that. I've had similar frustration as previous years where it feels like the CPU can just slip off you and slip past you like you're coated in oil, and they will stick to you like glue. It is kind of unbalanced in that way. And I want to make a point here as well, because you mentioned that last year you felt 2K23, my team, those challenges in domination were too easy. You wanted it to become more difficult. And now you're, as you pointed out, not enjoying the way they've approached difficulty in 2K24. And there would be people who would hear that and say, oh, you ask for more difficulty and now you get it and you complain. No, listen to the nuance. Listen to what Derek said about why you don't like the difficulty or the
it's
approach.
Artificial.
Yeah, the approach to difficulty. Right. It's not that you didn't want difficulty or you're upset that you're getting a difficult game, because you wanted that, but you wanted that in a more... You wanted the difficulty to be a proper challenge, a smarter CPU, not fake difficulty that's just frustrating, that it's not difficult because you need to play better or play smarter. You're just so at a disadvantage by the way the mechanics work. That's not proper difficulty. So, yeah, that is the difference. And people will say, oh, you ask for this. And you see this argument made a lot. Oh, you ask for this and now you're upset that you got it. So it's, yes, we got it, but it wasn't how we wanted it. You know, it's kind of like saying people saying, oh, you wanted season passes or you wanted season rewards in my team in my career. Yes, but not like this. So just because you ask for something, if you it's like saying, oh, can you make me a sandwich? And somebody makes you a horrible sandwich that's barely edible. Oh, well, you said make me a sandwich. Yes, but don't put crayons on the sandwich. You know what I mean?
It's right. Like Bart versus the Space Mutants on NES is challenging, but it's not well made, and it's a frustrating challenge.
Oh, now, come on. That is a classic. No, you're right. That's terrible.
I know. I'm sorry. I apologize about that. Yeah, well, I know.
God awful.
How could I? No, but the point is I want to let the community know there's some games that I really love playing against the computer on. That's a more realistic challenge.
Exactly.
Where you have to use, you know, real strategy to overcome a computer that's using mostly real strategy. And I'm going to give you an example. NBA 2K14 on the higher levels. Mm. NBA 2K13 on the higher levels. NBA 2K15, NBA 2K16. All of those games feel like a true challenge where it's not like artificially implemented, and it's not an exercise in frustration that has nothing to do with basketball, right? So like that is a great point. Yeah, I did want it to be harder, but not in that ridiculous way, because that's not like real basketball, and they're not winning with real strategy, and you're not, you know, you may be winning by 15 to 20 still, but it's more frustrating than anything. So, yeah, the other thing, too, that I want to point out is that the shooting. Why have they overcomplicated shooting so much? I don't know. Can I hit shots? Oh, yeah. You'll see it on the video. You'll see me doing step backs with Rick Barry, you know, going behind the back, you know, into a three with Kobe. You'll see me pulling up on the break with Curry, all of that stuff. And sure, because I can hit shots, that must mean that I love the shooting, right? No, I think that they've really overcomplicated the shooting. Now it's all this like push-pull stuff. It's not anymore about just like, hey, this is the way this player releases the ball in real life. So you should, you know, find just like a normal release and, you know, shoot it with him. It's now like this complicated mess. And I think that you've seen all the posts on X of people struggling with shooting. Right. And some of that is the lag online, and some of that is just the game's mechanics. It's a combination of both. And I've heard a lot of complaints about lag online, and I heard that a lot of it has to do with the whole cross-platform stuff.
Oh, have you seen the videos? Have you seen the videos that show the latency?
I sent you a couple.
That's right. You sent me one. That's bad. That is really bad.
Yeah, I sent Andrew a couple of videos of people showing the lag. They have their hand holding the controller, and their screen is in front of them, and they push the joystick one way to do like a dribble move just to the opposite hand. And there's like a 1 to 1.5 second delay on that. And even when Andrew and I played our online game on the PC version of NBA 2K24, Andrew saw my lag.
Yes.
I had quite a bit there. And the only reason why I was able to pull off stuff and keep that game close, in my opinion, is just because I know the game, right? Like, I understand what's going to happen, even if it does happen, like, a second later, and I can still string stuff together. But, yeah, the shooting, in my opinion, overall is just way overcomplicated now, and not overcomplicated in, like, a realistic way. It's like they're trying all of this new stuff year in and year out, when really what they should do is just, you know, you need to release the ball at the at the optimum release point for that player or for your player, etc., and then you'll be good to go. So I don't know how you feel about the shooting, but when you get up to the higher difficulty levels, especially because of all of the suction that I mentioned and the way shot contests work and everything, it can be super frustrating.
It can be really brutal. I agree. I still have mixed feelings about it. When it works, it kind of feels good, but then you have a stretch where it just seems to be screwing you over on every shot. And I've even noticed a bit of latency with dribbling and so forth offline, with the input lag as responding to the controls offline as well. But online, it's even worse, obviously. And when you are doing green or miss, when you are demanding precise timing online, and this is something we talked about during the preview season, Derek, when you are demanding precise timing, but the latency of the input offline plus the online lag, combined, then that's not a fair system. That is difficulty coming from bad design, bad mechanics, bad connections. So that is not a skill gap at all. Of course, they've called it a skill gap, right? But when you've got that latency, how skillful can you be?
I want to point something out, Andrew. Skill gap is not my badge is better than your badge, so I'm going to win.
That too.
It's
that
not
too,
yeah. I have the most artificial boosts, and I have the optimum build with the most artificial boosts and whatnot, so I'm going to win. And that's what the online scene has turned into, right? It's what I said this on X. I said, you never hear people talking about basketball strategy when it comes to NBA 2K24 or with NBA 2K23. What do you hear? This is the badge you should have.
Yeah.
This is the boost you should have. This is the boost I have that helps me win. I played against this guy and he had this badge and it was ridiculous. Like, that is what you hear. And that is the opposite, complete opposite of skill gap, because it doesn't matter who's the best actually on the court or who's the best on the sticks and all of that stuff.
Who knows?
Oftentimes,
who? Yeah.
It's the person, right? It's the person who knows how to cheese the best and who has the badges that will beat out your badges. So that's why the skill gap thing is BS when it comes to the new games. But I wanted to get back really quick to my team experience. So them controlling the market, I will say it, I called it, Andrew.
You did. You absolutely did.
Them controlling the market is a huge nightmare. So instead of having, and they raise the difficulty, like I stated, of the challenges while giving you worse players, right?
Oh, yeah.
Which, what is that going to make most people do, Andrew?
Buy
more packs.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Instead of getting, you know, your 90, 91 overalls with, you know, for your 5,000 BC or whatever, or, you know, getting those when you get your bonus packs and all of that stuff, when you buy the higher dollar version and everything, you just get like they gave you an 84 overall Kobe, who's way less than James Harden and, you know, Joel Embiid when you play the 76ers. You know, they give you, you basically have access to lower overall players. And then when you go into the player market, it's like the top two players in the player market were Andrew Bogut for 100,000 VC, 90 overall, and Al Horford, 90 overall, I want to say, for also 100,000 VC.
That's right, yeah.
And then basically if you do want to get – players like I'm trying to find steals in there. I'm trying to find guys like the Robert Pack I mentioned earlier. It's the guys that are going to be able to get me over the hump and do some things that are going to help me win those superstar challenges. But they have really increased the money grab in the player market. There's also very few players that are available. If you do want, like, I don't know, a good Paul Pierce, it's like 50,000 VC. And we already know how much that can cost, Andrew, and how much grinding it takes to get that much VC and whatnot. So the money grab is ridiculous. It's so unfair to the gamer. I'm really glad you pointed out that IGN review where they actually gave the game a 6 and for the first time, I believe, truly called out the microtransaction BS. Yeah, we need a competitor in the space because consumers deserve better.
Absolutely. And we've said it so many times before. And again, you absolutely did call it. I had high hopes for the player market. I mean, there were problems with the auction house because of the third-party MT resellers. That was an issue, but they've solved that issue by creating a new one. Although, I mean, it's an issue for us, the gamers. It's not an issue for them. They've solved a problem that was affecting both them and us by getting a solution that is really beneficial for them, but not for us. And I haven't seen a lot of the comments on 2K24 are saying that people are enjoying the gameplay or tending to enjoy the gameplay, but are just so turned off by the greed or the grind. And I'm looking at the agendas in my team and the how much it takes to level up. I've played a fair bit of my team, or quite a few triple threat offline games, and dabbled up with other clutch time and so forth. As I said, it is crashing in the fourth quarter for me, so it's harder to play the longer modes at the moment, with at least post latest patch. But I'm still about 69-70% towards level 2. Now, in last year's agendas, as much as I had a problem with some of the repetitive, oh, assign a shoe, assign a badge, whatever, and some of the grind is, once you got past level 18 or so, the grind got a bit ridiculous to get the other rewards, and some of the rewards weren't really worth it. It's such a grind to get to level up this year, and of course that is because you can pay to get level skips, and it's so obvious that it is a money grab. There's a lot of greed in that mode. Meanwhile, over in my career, I just started to dip my toe in there. I've created Terry Hansen, as I said, as my player this year. He is a 3-level scorer, I think, as a small forward. Basically, kind of created him as he is in 2K14, this athletic wing scorer. And to get from 60 overall, it is 189,958 VC, at least for the options that I picked, just to see what it would cost upgrading across the board to get him to 85 overall and fairly competent in key areas. 189,000, so you need to get the 200,000 VC pack, which is $82.45 Australian. I believe that's about 50-60 US, so that's on top of already buying the game, obviously. That is how much greed there is there. They've taken away the daily spin, which you need to actually join a park affiliation. You need to play online games to get that daily prize, which was very useful to get some extra VC if you were playing the NBA side of things. So even if you're playing the NBA side of things, to get that bonus, you have to play some online games first to win, to get yourself into an affiliation, a park affiliation, to get that daily prize. It has just taken so much goodwill and just flushed it down the toilet. It is such a money grab, so greedy. It's a shame because there's some good ideas there, other aspects of the mode, and streamlining it and not having a ridiculously long story and all these mandatory quests and some of the other nonsense they were doing in 2K22 and 2K23. But the greed just overrides all of those good changes in both my team and my career, and it's clearly done to force people to buy the level skips, to buy the VC, to buy the MT, and it's very hard to appreciate the game on the sticks in those modes when you are at such a disadvantage with your starting squad, like you say, getting those lower rated players with harder challenges, starting at 60 overall with such low ratings, and you've got to, you know, just upgrade your skills, you've got to upgrade your physical attributes as well. Entering the league, supposedly the best prospect since LeBron 20 years ago, and yet you're a 60 overall and with such low athletic ratings that, you know, it looks like you were in the league 20 years ago and retired 20 years ago with those athletic ratings. So it's a damn shame. I don't see myself playing as much of my career as I thought I might give it a go because of that grind, because of that greed, because of that online, that necessity to play online just to unlock the daily prize and things like that. It's ridiculous.
And you get really sick of going into the different menus in the game and seeing something locked behind VC.
Yes.
And you see it,
and you know,
in the online mode so often, and you know what they're trying to get you to do. It's, you know, for my team, it's get that season pass, right? You know, pay $9.99 for the season pass or $19.99, and then pay that amount again for the next season and everything. And that is what it's all about. And it's really discouraging, it's frustrating, and you just got to feel bad for your fellow gamer. I also wanted to point out another thing that really stands out on the new gen versions in comparison to the PC version. I got to tell you, PC gamers, get this game on sale if you want a better foot planting experience. The foot planting on the new gen version, really poor. It's a ton of skating on both defense and offense. And on the PC version, it's actually quite a bit tighter. And my brother and I have decided that more than likely we're going to be doing our Legend season and any other season on the PC version as a result. A little bit less suction on the PC version, a little bit better on the, you know, handles wise, you know, when you're dribbling the ball, you know, momentum wise, etc. And it's just the foot planting and suction and all that stuff just feels a little bit better and a little bit less troublesome. And you and I experienced a little bit of that when we had our online session where you messaged me after the game after we had our online session of NBA 2K24 PC. And you said, I think I like the movement better. And I can see why. So when this game goes 50, 60% off or something like that for the PC version, and you're, you know, not worried about playing online and you want to jump into maybe my league, maybe do some modding, maybe do play now, maybe do my team, etc. It might be worth picking up the PC version over the new gen version, in my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. I would recommend the PC version on sale if nothing else. It does feel better with the foot planting, as you say. It obviously doesn't have all of the next-gen features, my NBA eras and the rosters, etc. It does have Mamba moments. I did try that last night. Of course, I was hit with a crash within the fourth quarter because of that issue on PS5. But I do love what they've done with Mamba moments, very similar to the Jordan Challenge last year. I have mixed feelings about having to play through one game at a time. I do love that original approach of 2K11 with the Jordan Challenge, where you could jump around if you wanted to take a break from this challenge and try that game instead, or jump to your favorite one and play that first. I think there's value in that. But at the same time, it is supposed to be this retrospective playing through these key moments of Kobe's career. So playing it sequentially and having to unlock it, especially with the associated unlockables, the associated rewards for my team and my career, it makes sense. So I love what they've done with the detail in that, and my NBA eras, bringing in Round Ball Rock. John Tesh's Round Ball Rock, the NBA on NBC theme, was a really cool addition this year. A lot of great little details. And that's the thing, Derek. You've got gameplay that people, you know, some people like, some people don't, but a lot of people are saying it's pretty good. Or they are enjoying it for the most part, and they're liking these little details, loving these little details, in fact, but it's just the greed of the modes is just so off-putting, and that's disappointing, because you've got a pretty solid game in many aspects, and one that I do like more than 2K23 in some aspects, but, again, so off-putting with those modes and the greed.
Yeah, I guess for me, it's all of the above. Like, for me, the gameplay doesn't even get close to stacking up to so many of the 2K titles of the past. Like, I don't think NBA 2K24 gameplay, for the reasons that I mentioned, are even top 10 all time in the 2K series. In fact, it's questionable if it's top 15. And I'm not being a hater by saying that. And I do recommend the community to check out my YouTube gameplay from the last few 2Ks. It's not like I'm not good at the game, that I don't know how to make great highlights on the game. It's not that I'm not successful on the game, all of that stuff. I just think the gameplay has gone so far away from basketball. Like I said, it's the Fortnite generation. It's all about the artificial boosts. It's about the weird player movement, right? The unrealistic, weird player movement. It's about, you know, the suction. It's about the sliding. And it's about the complicated, ridiculously overcomplicated shooting, all that stuff. It's the games where the mid-range is almost extinct most of the time on the higher levels. It's the post-game isn't as good because of all of the suction and the way shooting works. It's just a combination of a lot of different things that make me don't think that overall this game is as good as so many past hoop games, whether it's, you know, NBA Live games, NBA 2K games, etc. So, and then on top of that, for me, it's that money grab, right? It's the not being fair to the consumer, and it's all the elevated BS that we've seen ever since NBA 2K18 came out in 2017. So, and it just keeps getting worse every year.
So yeah, I do feel that after another week with the game, I'm noticing more faults, even putting aside the technical issues that I'm having. But any final thoughts before we turn it over to the community?
Yeah, I mean, my recommendation for the community is, at any chance where you can choose the difficulty level that you're playing on, try to play on Pro or All-Star. Suck it up if you're somebody who normally plays on Hall of Fame or Superstar, unless you want the incredibly annoying experience that those levels produce in NBA 2K24. If you want a more realistic basketball experience, one that gives you a little bit more freedom of movement, a little less suction, allows you to operate in more of a realistic basketball capacity, and have more fun with the gameplay, so more fun than frustration, I just recommend playing on Pro and All-Star wherever possible, because those two levels do still have a lot of the annoyances, because the player movement issues are throughout the entire motion system, right? They're a part of the game's engine, so they're going to impact you in one way or another in a negative fashion, no matter what difficulty level you play on. But Pro, All-Star seems to be the sweet spot to have the most fun you can possibly have with NBA 2K24. And in relation to the PC version, because I know we talk a lot about the new gen version, in relation to the PC version, I recommend the exact same thing. I think that the PC version is best on Pro or All-Star to give you the optimum experience. And yeah, I guess those are my final words on it.
Yeah, I would absolutely agree. I still feel like I'm going to be playing this game, probably both versions, throughout the year. We'll see how long that lasts. Last year I got about 2 or 3 months before I got sick of the grind in trying it in my career and my team. As I said, I didn't really get into my NBA eras because of the lack of attention to detail. So we'll see how that goes this year. But, I mean, it's like every year. The longer you have the game, the more legacy issues you find, the more initial hype wears off, you start noticing some of the problems. I still stand by what I said last week, that there are positives to the game, but I have noticed a few more negatives over the past week, more frustrations with the suction, not being able to create that distance, create that separation with the CPU while they are able to stick with you like glue. But yeah, otherwise, I'm still seeing some positives in the game, but definitely some negatives are appearing over the past week or so, the more time you spend, which is always the case. That's why you don't want to put out a review after only 2 days of playing the game.
You know, I expected more out of New Gen. I expected more out of the PS5, Xbox Series X versions of basketball video games. And I think that NBA 2K overall, from a product quality, overall quality perspective, has been a real letdown on this new generation. And unfortunately, they just overall continue to kind of, I don't know, recycle a lot of the same stuff on the PC version, kind of like what they did with, you know, NBA 2K14 through like NBA 2K18 on the PS3 generation.
Sure.
When they were still pumping out those games and whatnot for that console. So, yeah, I mean, I'm disappointed overall with the visual appeal, because I think that it wasn't a big jump over PS4. You could argue that in many ways it's not a jump over PS4. And I think that from a so overall graphics, gameplay, and fairness to the gamer, I think it's been a real letdown.
I mean, we had such a huge jump going from PS3 to PS4, Xbox 360 to Xbox One, so it definitely does feel like a bit of a letdown in that respect. We've said that since NBA 2K21, built from the ground up, as alleged. But I think it's a culmination of that, those expectations, and not having that as big of a jump. It's also a culmination of everything as far as pushing the envelope with and pressing their luck with microtransactions and everything else. And I think with 2K24, even if you can get used to the gameplay, which I do think a lot of people will be able to, the big thing for me is the greed of the modes. And it's like, okay, I'm enjoying the gameplay, but not with this grind, not with this lineup full of low-rated players, not with this incredibly low-rated my player once again starting over from scratch. So the greed is making it very hard to get past a lot of the other issues as well. Gameplay is paramount, but if the modes are appealing, sometimes you can get used to some janky gameplay, make the best of it, make some slider adjustments if possible, but the greed is just out of control, and that's a huge problem. I'm glad to see it being called out, though.
And like I said earlier, though, like the gameplay, I just think it's taken many steps back. I think it's not the gameplay on NBA 2K24 is not as fun or realistic as so many past titles on prior gen consoles, right? And I think that it's not debatable that it is heavily, heavily weighted on artificial boosts.
The online
right?
scene, yeah.
The foot planning being far worse, the constant skating on offense and defense, that's not debatable. That is a lot worse than past some of the past gen titles and whatnot. It's not debatable that the suction is at an all-time high, and that's the way that they tried to improve defense. That is not debatable. Like, there's so many things, like, and that the shooting overall is not as fun and it's not as realistic and it's too complicated in comparison to many past titles. Like, there's certain things that are not debatable when it comes to gameplay. And, you know, I could show footage of the difference, and I've actually done this before on one of the titles in the new motion system, you know, showing foot planning side by side with a title from, you know, the 2K16 motion system, and then, you know, showing, you know, the freedom of movement and the lack of suction in comparison and everything. Like, you can see this stuff side by side on video, and then you can feel it on the sticks. It's not debatable that the game is janky movement-wise in comparison to so many of the past titles. So, like, I think that, let's say 2K was fair to the gamer, Andrew. Let's say they weren't pushing microtransactions like this. Let's say the reaching into people's pockets wasn't as bad. Those gameplay issues, if they were the same, they're still there.
Oh yeah,
right?
For sure.
Like, that's the thing, and they're still a downgrade from so many past games, and it's still incredibly disappointing. So, yeah, I'll go back to, you know, what I said earlier. Gameplay is just not as good as so many past titles. I think that's my biggest problem with the series, obviously outside of the greed.
You know, you touched on it there. My last comment with the shooting, I don't think they've got it quite right at all on this generation. I think they're being pulled in too many directions as far as being a sim game, being an online game, head-to-head, trying to cater to the elitists, the supposedly elite players, but certainly the elitists, as we've said before, the idea of the skill gap and everything is just getting pulled in so many directions, and I don't think they've made it as fun or satisfying or as solid as a mechanic on this generation.
Yeah, and for everything that they do well, again, in my opinion, it's, and you know, the majority of gamers' opinions, It's all about that between the lines action, right? You play so you can experience the virtual hardwood, you know, whether it's controlling one player or an entire team, etc. So sure, they have an amazing jersey court creator, etc., that they implemented in NBA 2K16 for your like my league / my NBA. That is amazing. The create a player feature improved a few years back. Cool. Like that's awesome. You know, they have the all-time teams, the classic teams, all these retro players. That is great. But obviously we talked about the rush drops, copies, paste, you know, spreadsheet stuff and all the inaccurate signatures and everything. But, you know, they have all of this content and all of these modes, but all of the content and all of the modes are like behind this greed, right? And behind faulty gameplay mechanics and frustrations and all of that stuff. So they can do some things, but the on-court action and the greed override at all the good stuff that they're doing, in my opinion, or at least most of it.
Yeah, if you've got to say, you know, it's a great game if you overlook all these bad points or all of this greed and everything. You can't at the end of the day.
Right. I mean, you can't say, hey, it's a great game outside of
all the bad all the stuff.
Suction. And yeah, it's a great game outside of all the suction and the, you know, the sliding everywhere and the janky player movement overall and the not being able to utilize the mid-range game, really, and the faulty shooting and the constant missed layups. Other than all of those gameplay issues and whatnot, and then all the greed and forcing me to put all this money into the game, it's a great game. See, that doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah.
So, like, that take doesn't make sense to me.
Got to take the good with the bad, absolutely. But that's our take after a second week with the game. We will continue to talk about the game, of course, as our opinions continue to evolve. That will be a topic of future shows. And, of course, we will continue to talk about older games that we're playing as well, as always, on the NLSC podcast. But before we wrap up here this week, let us open up the mailbag.
To the mailman, the pump fake. What an unbelievable dunk!
So I asked the community, what are your second impressions of NBA 2K24 now that you've spent a little bit more time with the game? And a bonus question of what modes do you plan on playing the most?
So first up we have the Live King. Stephen, of course, says, once I find a slider set, probably my NBA playoffs with fantasy rosters online, starting five was dope. They just have to figure out the input lag. Parker's trash. It's not basketball. And yeah, Parker's definitely not my speed. And the fact that you have to play that to unlock the daily prize this year, even though the daily prize isn't always great, it still helps to get 500, 1,000, couple of thousand VC here or there. Every little bit helps. So the fact that you've got to play those games first, possibly with a low-rated player to do that and to even get a game, with the default outfit and everything, just such a greedy, bad design.
Yeah, the park gameplay is really frustrating to watch. It's bad basketball, and a lot of times it isn't the user's fault. It's just kind of like the game mechanics and all the artificial boosts coming together, right?
Using the tools, you're gonna use the tools you've got. You're gonna use the mechanics you've got.
Right, exactly. So it's not always the end user's fault. And in relation to the sliders, you know, I appreciate his willingness to try everything with a game to make it the best experience possible year in and year out. He's always messing with sliders. He's been doing that since, you know, the 2000s NBA Lives and whatnot. So I appreciate him for that.
And heading over to the NLSC Discord now, Avery says, I didn't necessarily buy the game, but I game shared it with a friend. After, I want to say, 8 hours of playing the game, I accepted that 2K will be slowly but surely moving into turning the game into, quote, Simcade, than pure simulation like earlier titles used to be. And don't get me wrong, 2K still has a decent amount of realism to it, but when you compare it to, let's say, 2K14, it's so far apart. And then goes on to say, TLDR, I don't like the direction the game is heading in. And I definitely appreciate that. And, you know, we've talked about sim arcade hybrids before. Simcade is a nice little portmanteau of that, obviously. So, yeah, I absolutely get where he's coming from.
You know, his take about spending 8 hours with the game, that's a lot at this point, right? Like, that's, you know, the game's only been out for a little over a week. Spent 8 hours with it. That is plenty of time to have a good first and second impression of it. And the Simcade piece is, I don't think NBA 2K operates realistically much at all on the virtual hardwood, no matter what level you're playing at, just because, like I said, of the, you know, the player movement issues and everything and all the other issues with the gameplay. I think that it is not leaning arcade either, really, because it's arcade is fun, fast paced action, right? Like, that's the way we look at arcade, fun. And, you know, we look at arcade as like high flying dunks and spectacular moves and all of that stuff. So I don't know what you would call 2K at this point, but to me, it doesn't really operate as a simulation basketball game like it's marketed.
I guess it has those arcade elements that are just not very well done, or it's like it's a sim take on arcade elements that just doesn't really delight either crowd. Like, it's not arcade enough to be, it's not arcadey enough to be arcade fun. It's not sim enough to be sim fun.
Yeah. So I guess Simcade is what he called it.
Yeah.
I guess we can call it like Simcade hybrid. I don't know.
Yeah. Something like definitely hybrid. Ligro says the pictures for the break during seasons in my league are still the same. So these are little things that you notice just being recycled year to year, and it does make the game feel stale.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely stale elements to both the gameplay and to some of the features. I think somebody was upset. I can't remember who it was. It was an X user. And he was talking about how the court creator and jersey creator within my league hasn't been updated since, you know, my league, my NBA, hasn't been updated since NBA 2K16. So that's about 7 years with the same one. Me, I think it's a great feature, and I think it still works very well. But they are correct that it really has not been updated, you know, for 6 or 7 years. And now the create a player feature that we have in place has been there since NBA 2K19 with very, very, very minimal updates. You still can't do true sculpting. The players really don't come out like the like a real life counterpart if you're trying to make like a past NBA player or anything like that. So I understand that people are you know, looking at aspects of NBA 2K at this point being stale.
And shout out to MJ Wizards and a couple of other people who've tried their hand at a Charles Barkley and Reggie Miller. Those are not easy players to make. I mean, as you said, with the limitations, no players are particularly easy to make, but Reggie in particular. Even a lot of face modders, people who can make custom faces and custom head models, custom head shapes, have struggled with Reggie over the years. So a couple of decent efforts there.
Yeah, and you got to appreciate people like MJ Wizards in the community. They're needed in the community. They help a lot of people with their experiences with the game. For example, MJ Wizards Barkley was immediately created by Teddy Bear the Gamer after
right.
he released that build. And then Teddy Bear submitted a highlight for the top 10 plays of the week with Barkley in a Sixers uniform, you know, driving the lane and posterizing somebody. And it's that MJ Wizards build. So like the community loves stuff like this. The create a player feature is very limited overall still in NBA 2K. However, I think that MJ Wizards did a great job with that Barkley.
Juicy Shackmeat says, as a last gen player, it definitely feels like the same gameplay as last year. Although I will say that so far playing my team, gameplay feels fairer playing online than 23 so far, probably due to lesser lag with less active players. I plan to stick to that mode until the end of the cycle and completely avoid any online park games thanks to that shared level progression. And I do think that combining the progression, as much as it is a grind and as much as they're trying to push those level skips, at least combining the two, that you can have that progression through the seasons by just playing one mode or going back and forth between them. I mean, that's obviously done to try and lessen that and try and say, oh, we're not being too harsh with it, but clearly it is still a money grab. But yeah, as he says, last gen, obviously a lot of familiarity there as well.
From what I can tell, the online scene for last gen has really died down. I think now that we're into the fourth 2K on the new gen consoles, that a lot of people have finally moved to that gen, right? And they're playing online on the newest consoles. So I can see how that might reduce some of the lag for him online.
And finally, Cabs4872 says, finally on 2K24, and I can't believe this battle pass crap. Toxic. Absolutely. But also says, the options / features menu is slick and clean, though. Best it's been in years, LOL.
Yeah, overall, I like the presentation with the menus both on PC and on the new gen. versions. So I can definitely agree with them there. And it looks like they made the menus very moddable on the PC version. So I think eventually the community will have at that and make some great interface mods. But yeah, just all this season pass and battle pass and all of this BS and extra stuff that they're adding to these modes to get people on the sticks and, you know, spending more time on the game so they see the, you know, the gambling mechanics and all of that stuff. It just bums me out. I think it, same for you. Like, it just completely bums me out.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And these are common complaints. I've seen a lot of people on Reddit talking about getting refunds. There is definitely a backlash to it. The Steam version, the PC version on Steam, is the second lowest rated of all time, second lowest rated game of all time with Steam reviews. The gambling tag is there, is one of the most popular tags that people have added to the game. That has been happening for a few years now, obviously. But there's definitely some backlash, mixed feelings about the game because some people are enjoying the gameplay or parts of it, and then this greed comes in or other aspects of the modes. And yeah, that is a complaint, a criticism that I share. And one last thing I'll say is that with critique of any game, but certainly with basketball games, as we cover here in our community, that you can enjoy a game and enjoy a series, support it, be a fan, but also be critical, just as you may be critical of the moves that your favorite team makes. You don't have to like every single trade or signing. You can be disappointed with your team when it underperforms. Same with the games. You can enjoy this and talk positively about the things that you like, while also giving constructive, fair criticism. And all this talk about hating and bashing, which is always the case in the first 2 weeks while we work out exactly what a game is like and give it a chance and give it another chance to see how it really goes and start noticing some of the issues. But critique, it's the whole package, Derek, as you know. I want to impress that upon everybody, though, that you can praise the things that you like and criticize the things that you don't. Does not make you a hater, does not make you a fanboy if you are giving solid critique like that. So be honest with yourself, be honest with your fellow gamer.
And don't be bullied by big companies, big corporations. Do not allow yourself to be bullied. Do not allow yourself to be silenced. If you have an issue with gambling mechanics, if you feel like you're getting taken advantage of, if you feel like the games are not up to par and they're giving you a frustrating experience, you have every single right to speak out. And I don't care where you speak out. I don't care if it's, you know, anywhere on social media, if it's on a forum, if it's on like X or Facebook, or if you're commenting on YouTube, speak up and let your voice be heard, because it's very important.
And we will definitely try to set an example, a positive example in that regard. We will continue to talk about NBA 2K24, as I said, but also other games that we play, because we do like to go back and keep those classics in the rotation. So you will hear us talk about NBA 2K14, NBA Live 06, 2K17, 2K19, NBA Jam on Fire Edition, and of course we will definitely be playing Kid Sports Basketball, Derek.
Yeah, our collections are vast. We have so many games we can go back to and play that we really enjoy. And we love sharing that footage with you folks. We love talking about the games. So this isn't ending anytime soon.
Like how you just glossed over the kids' sports basketball there. Rightfully
so. I refuse to use anybody but Ginger Clay on that game. So I'm okay with us revisiting kids' sports basketball, but I plan on lighting you up with Ginger Clay.
Well, you know, in my career in 2K24, you need to spend 3,000 VC just to get Klay Thompson's dunk package. You know, renowned dunker Klay Thompson, of course. But Ginger Klay is free to use.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. In NBA 2K24, the way they're controlling the market now, Ginger Klay is such a stud, such a superstar, that he would probably be 500,000 VC for like a 90 overall version. So don't expect to be picking up Ginger Klay anytime soon on 2K24. You can't afford him.
I mean, you talk about awkward shooting mechanics. Kids sports basketball is definitely up there, or down there, as the case may be. But
yeah, well, I liked hitting like cartwheel threes from past half court.
Oh, very sim. I mean, very sim.
That was pretty impressive. Yeah.
But in any case, that has brought us to the end of this week's show. As always, we thank you for tuning in. We invite you to join us again next week and every week, either on the NLSC, NBA-Live.com, our YouTube channel, or your podcast app of choice. In the meantime, please connect with us on social media. That's where you can get in touch with us. And of course, stay up to date with all of our content. So Derek, go ahead and plug the handles.
Yeah, you can find me on X at D43G and at D4384. Also on YouTube, D43, and on the NLSC, D43.
I am Andrew in the forum and Andrew NLSC on X. The NLSC is on X and Facebook at the NLSC. We're also NLSC Basketball on Instagram and Threads. We're on YouTube at youtube.com/NBA Live Series Center. And of course, keep it locked to the NLSC itself, NBA-Live.com, for everything we do for basketball video games. So, thank you once again for tuning in, and until next time, I'm Andrew.
And I'm Derek.
Go get buckets, everyone.